The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas, Parashas Yisro. In Yisro, we have the Esed Dibros, the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment, this is in Yisro Chof, Pasuk Yud Beis, Kabeid es avicha v'simecha, that you shall honor your father and your mother, leman yarichun yomecha ala adoma, asher adinoi elehecha nesin loch. You shall honor your father and your mother in order that your days shall be lengthened on the land which Hashem, your God, has given to you. This mitzvah is an extremely important mitzvah. Firstly, we see that it's written in the Ten Commandments, Esed Dibros. And the Ten Commandments, the sages tell us, is the yesod of Kol HaTorah Kula. That is the foundation of all of the mitzvahs. Secondly, it states, Leman Yarichon, that the reward is length of days. Life. In particular, Alo Adoma, length of days, life, on the land which Hashem has given to you, in Eretz Yisrael. So it's from the mitzvahs that have the skula, the milo, that can give you days in Eretz Yisrael. And also Rashi brings from the Mechilta, he says, Im techabed yarichun, v'im lav yiktsurun. This is not only a gift of long days, but this is an obligation. That if you honor your parents, then you'll have long days. If you dishonor them, then yiktsurun, your days will be shortened, heaven forbid. Shedivrei Torah nutrikun, hein nidrosh michlal, hein lav, michlal lav hein. Because from the words of the Torah, we can deduce just the opposite. The Torah tells us that if we do this, we will receive such a reward, which means that if we do the opposite, then we would receive, heaven forbid, such a punishment. So therefore, yiktsurun, the lack of this causes the shortening of days. Another reason is to show the outstanding importance and value of this mitzvah, as the Gemara brings in Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Lamed, Seif Omed Beis, Tone Rabbonon, Ne'amar Kabeid es Avicha v'Simecha, ve'ne'amar Kabeid es Hashem Ahincha. Here it states that you shall honor your father and mother, and in another place, in Mishlei Gimel, it states that you shall honor Hashem Eheincho from whatever wealth he gives to you. Now, in both places, the same type of command is demanded. Kabet. Hishva kosum kveir aveim likveir amokum. So we see that the Torah has equated the honor which one is obligated to give his father and mother with the honor that one is obligated to give the Almighty. To tell us that the same honor that I have commanded you that you shall give me, you shall share also with your parents. Then the Gemara goes further. Ne'amar ish imay ve'oviv tira'u. Later on in the Torah, in Kedoshim Avayikor Yutes, there we are commanded that a man should give fear and respect to his mother and father. Ne'amar es Hashem alakecho tira. And in the Devarim Vav, it states that you shall fear the Lord your God. Again, it uses the same type of command. You're obligated Moro, you are obligated to fear your parents and you're obligated to fear Hashem. We see here that the Torah is equating the two to tell us, the Almighty says, that just as I have commanded you to fear me, that same fear I command you to share with your parents. Ne'amar mekalel oviv imay meishumos ve'ne'amar ish ish ki yekalel elakov v'noso chetoy ish va'akosu b'yirchaza ve'em le'b'yirchaza mokom. Then the Gemara goes even further, because the same, it states that if a person, heaven forbid, curses the Almighty, then he's guilty and receives the death punishment. And it uses the same expression by one's parents. So again, Hishva Kosu, that the Torah has equated. So, another paramount point that we see in this mitzvah is that the same honor and the same fear and respect that the Almighty has demanded for himself, he commands you to share with your parents. So we listed here three reasons why this mitzvah is so paramount. It's written in the Ten Commandments, which is the foundation of all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Long life is its reward, leman yarichun yomecho al adoma, and imlav tiktzerom, that if you fulfill the command, you will have long life; if not, your life, your days shall be shortened. And hishva, that the Torah has equated the honor and the fear that the Almighty commanded for himself to the honor and the fear that he commands you to give to your parents. Now we find by the Ovis, by our forefathers, that they also were very, very involved in this mitzvah one way or the other. For example, Rashi brings a medrash at the end of Parshas Noach. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham, Lech lecho mi'artzecho, leave your house, leave your land, leave your parents, and go to the land which I shall give you, which I shall show you. And he wanted Abraham to uproot himself from his entire past. Abraham's father was a Eved Avodah Zarah, an idolater, his whole family, the whole city, the whole land. He said, uproot yourself and make a new beginning, and there I will make a great nation from you. Abraham was very reluctant to do this, the Midrash tells us. Didn't want to. Today, someone tells a person, go overseas, I'll give you a good job. He doesn't think about it too long. But Abraham, no. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him everything in the world, that I will bless you, you will be wealthy, and I will give you a name that will be known in the entire world, and I will give you a blessed nation. But all of these blessings I cannot do as long as you stay here. You must go. Abraham said, no, I can't. Why? So the Medrash brings, Rashi doesn't bring the entire Medrash, but the entire Medrash is Lefi shohay Avram mefachid. Abraham was afraid. V'omar eitzei, how can I go? V'yu mechalal b'shem shomayim, and I will be a disgrace to the name of heaven. V'yemru, people will say, heiniach oviv le'esik nosa. Look at Abraham. He left an old father, and he went away. This is what he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can I go? So what that you promised me everything? But Yashem Shomayim Mishalel, that the name of Hashem will be desecrated. They'll say here, Abraham was the one who was supposed to spread the name of the Almighty. this is what the Almighty teaches, that you pick yourself up for your own good and you leave an old father. And this is what Abraham told HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right, but lecho ani peitrecho mikibur av ve'em. He says, you, I give a dispensation, but no one else, just you. That's what the Maral explains why. So he said, because your father and mother are no longer considered your father and mother, because I am making a new beginning to the world from you, and the beginning will start from you. And then also, it states that that's why first, at the end of Parshas Noach, it states that Terach died. Then Parshas Lech Lecha begins with Avraham going away, even though Terach died much later. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there is no kesher, there is no link. And first we will speak about the chapter of Terach and finish it, and then we'll speak about your chapter. Lecho ani peiter. He said, don't worry, because I free you from this mitzvah. But others I do not free. So we see how, with all of these great promises and this great mitzvah, Abraham was very concerned. That's where we see it by one of the others. Excuse me, could we open a few windows there? Further we see by Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayetze Lamed Aleph Mem Aleph, when he decided that it was time to leave the house of Lavan and go back home, and he took his wives and he took his children and he ran away, and then Lavan caught up with him and they had their confrontation. So Yaakov said, Ze esrim shono anechi imoch. So Yaakov said to Lavan, excuse me 1 minute. 20 years I have worked for you. And I took care of your sheep and your goats and your herds, and never was anything lost. And that's in Pasuk Lamed Ches. In Pasuk Mem Aleph, he says, Zeli esrim shana beveisecho. He says, for me, it has been 20 years in your house. I worked 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years I worked for the sheep. So the Chazal asked, what does it mean, Zeli esrim shana beveisecho? See, first he said 20 years, but then he enunciates and says, Zeli esrim shana. For me, it's been 20 years in your house. What is it, for me? So the Chazal explained, these 20 years I'll have to pay for. Because for 20 years that I have been working by you, for your two daughters, and for the sheep, I have desecrated the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'em. I have not been able to serve my father and mother. And therefore these 20 years are 20 years for me that I will have to pay for. My son will go away from me, and he will not serve me for 20 years. This is what Yaakov said. V'kachoyu. Yosef went away and did not serve him for 20 years. Now actually, Yosef was 22 years. See, Yosef left when he was 17, and Yaakov came down and was reunited with Yosef when Yosef was 39. Because Yosef was 30 years old. The Torah tells us, when he stood before Paro and became the king. Then there were the 7 good years, and then 2 years of the 7 years of famine, and that's when Yaakov came down. So therefore Yosef was 39, and he left at 17, so there were 22 years. So the Chazal say, why did Yaakov say there, Li Esrim Shona? Because he was 20 years in the house of Laban, but it took him another 2 years to get home. He was sure it took him 2 years on the journey to get back home. So therefore 22 years he did not serve his father. And that he had to pay for by his son not serving him. Even though it was for a very, very good purpose. He didn't leave home because he wanted to see the world. He left home because he ran for his life. Esav wanted to kill him. And then when he stayed in the house of Laban, he was staying for a very good reason, to marry the daughters of Laban and to build the house of Israel. Nevertheless, he did not, was not Mechaber Oviv Imai for 22 years. So this happened to him later on with Yosef. Rashi tells us at the end of Parshas Toldos that there's still an additional 14 years that Yaakov was away from his father Yitzchok. But we see that he wasn't repaid for. And those were the 14 years that he went on his way. Before he came to the house of Lavan, he went to the Beis HaMedrash of Eiver, and he sat and learned for 14 years. That 14 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did deduct from his cheshbon because of Schus HaTorah. If a person goes and he's learning Torah, and he's learning Torah, he's not fooling around, then he's exempted from the mitzvahs of Kibbutz Aviv. So therefore, for that 14 years, didn't go into the calculation. But the rest of the time, even though it was a mitzvah rabba, great mitzvah he was doing, every year he was repaid for. That he didn't serve his father, this is what was to happen to him. Again we see in Parshas Vayishlach, when he was returning home, at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed, Posuk Ches, it states, Vayira Yaakov mi'od vayetzeloi. When Yaakov heard that Esav was coming with 400 men, so it states Yaakov was very afraid, very much afraid. Now the Chazal asked, what was he afraid of? First of all, Esav was strong. Yaakov also was very strong. States Yaakov was Giborhu when he came to the well, and all of the shepherds had gathered together because there wasn't enough shepherds yet there to lift the big stone off the well. Yaakov went and lifted it off himself. To tell us that he was so strong, it shows us he was so strong. Was he afraid that Esav was such a tzaddik? He wasn't. So the Chazal give various answers as to why Yaakov was afraid. The Targum Yonason says a different reason. He says, Targum Yonason says, "Udechol Yaakov lechodo." Yaakov was very afraid. Al dele osak esrin shnin bikore davui. Because for 20 years he hadn't been mekayim, fulfilled the mitzvah of kibud av em, of giving honor to his father and mother, while Esav for 20 years did fulfill this mitzvah. And this is what he was afraid of. He wasn't afraid of Esav's strength. Yaakov was as strong. And he wasn't afraid of Esav's overall righteousness. No, that was no competition to Yaakov. He was afraid of one mitzvah, that for 20 years he did not fulfill and Esav did. And that was the kibud av eim, the honor, the serving Esav did to his father. And Esav, as we'll see a little later, actually was a genius in this. This is what he was afraid of. And therefore, it states, it's interesting, Vayiro Yaakov mi'od vayetzeloi. Not only he was afraid, very much afraid. He was very much afraid of the Hil Yaakov Lachado, of the Le'osak Esrin Shnin Be'ikored Avoy. Because for 20 years he had lacked this mitzvah, and Esav had it. And therefore he was afraid with this chush, he might lose his battle. Then we see even further. Later, much later, when Yosef grew up, and then Yosef went down to Egypt, and then Yaakov thought that he was dead. And then Yaakov was given the news that Yosef is alive, and he's ruling over all of Egypt. And Yaakov decided that he'll come down and visit his son Yosef and see him before he dies. So in Parshas Vayigash, Memvov Choftes, states, Vayeso Yosef Merkaftoi Vayal Ikras Yisrael Oviv Geishno. Yosef harnessed his chariot. This also was something which Rashi brings up. Why did Yosef harness his chariot? Yosef was the king. He had plenty of servants. Hu atzmai oser asasusim lemakov lizdares lichveir Oviv, because he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbur Av himself. So he harnessed his chariot and he went up to meet his father, Yisrael Oviv Geishno, Vayera Elov, and he appeared before him. Yosef appeared before his father, Vayipol al Tzavorov Vayevk, al Tzavorov Od. And he wept on his shoulder, bowed on his shoulder, and he wept on his shoulder further. Yosef wept on the shoulder of Yaakov. The sages asked, why did Yosef weep on Yaakov's shoulder? And Yaakov didn't weep on Yosef's shoulder. The sages asked this question, and they give an answer. It states that Yaakov hayakeres ha-shma. At that time, Yaakov was reading the Shema. That's one answer. Again, Yenisen ben Uziel, the Tana Targum Yonason, says a different answer. Yonason was a Tana. Says a different answer. This answer, many years ago, was written to me by my Rebbe. He says as follows. Bekodom dishmedai ovoi bayera elov. When Yosef appeared to Yaakov, before his father could recognize who he was, Yaakov was a very old man, so it could be his eyesight wasn't that good. Plus, we said for 22 years he hadn't seen his son. In addition to that, besides the fact that his son had changed enormously because he left when he was a young 17 and now he was 39, but in addition to that, he was dressed up as a king. So before, kodem disht medeya avoy, before his father could recognize him, sagidle, his father, Yaakov, bowed to him. Because when he saw, what did he see coming? He saw a great king coming with a whole entourage. So he thought at first this was the king of Egypt. So before he could realize who it was, he bowed to him. Yaakov bowed to Yosef. Bishayev lemahavish nine ketiyam. And from that moment, Yosef was deserving to have his years shortened. Because this was a dishonor to his father, that the father was bowing to the son. And then when he realized what took place, when he realized what took place, so he wept on his father's shoulder because his father had bowed to him. So this is what it means. And he appeared before him. And Yaakov at that instant couldn't realize who it was. Here was a man who was dressed as a king in a royal chariot with a whole army behind him. So he thought for sure it must be the king of Egypt. So he bowed to him. And when Yosef realized that his father had bowed to him, and for this he was deserving to have his life shortened, because this is what we said before, that if you give honor to your parents, yarichun yomecha, then your days will be lengthened. If you dishonor your parents, yiktzurub, then your days will be shortened. So when you realize this, vayipal al tzavora, vayevka al tzavora vod. So he wept on his father's shoulders because his father had bowed to him. That serves as another answer to the question that the sages ask, why did Yosef weep on Yaakov's shoulder and Yaakov didn't weep on Yosef's shoulder? So here we see how far this mitzvah goes. And actually, there's another point, another place also, and that is in part also with Yosef. In Parshas Miketz, Chof Zayin Aleph. Mem Gimel, Mem Gimel, and Chof Zayin, and Chof Vov, and Chof Zayin. Actually, Chof Zayin and Chof Ches. This was when the brothers had returned. The brothers went home after buying the grain, and then they returned again, and they found all of their money was in the sacks that time. They came back. And the king, who was actually Yosef, asked them that if everything is well, and is everything well with your old father that you told me about, and is he still alive? Vayomru, and they said, Shalom le'abdecho, le'ovino adenuchoy. And they said, there is peace to your servant, our father, who is still alive. Vayiktu vayishtachu, and they bowed down to him. There is peace to your servant, to our father, who is still alive. They refer to their father as your servant. Our father, who is your servant. Now this is proper to do before a king, but they didn't realize they were doing it before Yosef. So they were referring to our father, who is Yosef's father, as your servant. In other words, your father, your servant. And this was done a number of times. And there is a chazal, I couldn't find it. I remember seeing such a chazal, but I couldn't find it in the Medrash. That there the Medrash brings also that Yosef should have objected to this. He should have said, don't call your father my servant. And he should have objected. And for the fact he didn't, so every time that he did, he had lost some years of his life. Yosef didn't live as long as he should have. It states at the end of Parshas Vayechi that Yosef lived to the age of 110 years old. Vayomesh Yosef ben mea ve'eser shonim, 110. And 110 was not a long time compared to his father or his grandfather's. And that every time that he didn't object, some of his years were shortened. So from here we see some episodes in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em by the Ovis. We mention that HaKadosh Baruch Hu equates his honor to the honor that he wants you to give to your parents. Why does he do this? So the Gemara tells us. The Gemara says again in Kiddushin and Aflam Ramad Beis, Seif Ahmad Beis. It says, V'chein Bedin. It should be that the honor should be equated. Why? Because all three are partners. There are three partners in the creation of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, ve'aviv imoy, a father and a mother. This is brought from a braisa which is elaborated on in Masechet Nido. Rashi refers to it concisely here. We can't go into it in detail now, but the braisa tells us that there are 20 components that man is made from. And the father gives five, and the mother gives five others, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives 10. These are the 20 components. And the mother, the father and the mother, so the Gemara brings that the Ish Mazri Aloven, the father's seed, which is white, so all of the white components, bone tissue, brain tissue, and so forth, are given by the father. Ish Mazri Odim, and the mother's seed is red, so all of the red tissue, the blood, the flesh, and so forth, are given by the mother. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives non-physical components. Because he's non-physical. For example, he gives the neshama, the soul, the riyas ha'ayin, the power to see, the shmiyas ha'ozen, the power to hear, the dibor, the speech, and so forth. So it comes out that in the creation of man, three play the vital role. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Avi v'Imai. So that's what the Gemara says, Bedinu. It's proper that Kodesh Baruch Hu should share the honor he demands from a person with Avi v'Imai, with a father and mother. Because Gimel Shutfim Ba'odim, there are three partners in the creation. Bisman Shorim Mechabidis Avi v'Imai. And when a person gives honor to his father and mother, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mala Ani Aleihem Kilu Dati B'neihem V'Chibduni. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm very happy that I live amongst them, that I live in such a household, because they are actually honoring me also. But Bizman Shorim Mitzaris Aviv Imoy, when a person gives aggravation to his father and mother, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves and he says, Yofi Asisi Shalei Dati B'neihem. Very good that I do not live amongst them. Shilmole dati b'neiam tsiaruni. Because if I would live amongst them, then they would give me aggravation also. So the reason why he shares his kovod and his meirah and his fear and respect with aviv imai, and the reason why we have to give to them is because all three play a role in creation. And all three are the cause for our living here. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. That when he wanted to bring life to the world, he wanted to bring it through an emtsoi, through some middle way, through some conduit. And that was a person's physical parents. So therefore, all three are the source of a person's life, his birth, his life, his existence in the world. And we have to respect such a source. So therefore, we have to give respect to all three. And it states the same type of respect. Now, with this, the Maral explains why we find that this mitzvah is the fifth commandment. Why is it in particular the fifth? It says because the Ten Commandments were given on two luchas, on two tablets, five on one and five on the other. He says the first luach, the first tablet, deals with the mitzvahs that a person owes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Metzius, he is the reality in the world, and he brings forth all reality. So we have, for example, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. Le Yelecho, do not make any other gods before me. Le Siso, do not use my swear by my name in vain. Or Shabbos, what is the purpose of Shabbos? Zeche Lamaase Bereishis, because Shabbos testifies to the Maase Bereishis, to the creation. When you keep Shabbos, you're testifying that I made the world, because 6 days I worked and the seventh day I rested. So therefore, you're resting because I rested. So all of these mitzvahs, all of these commandments are commandments and testimonies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bereishis, he's the beginning of all creation, and he brought creation here. So that's the first tablet. The second tablet deals with the mitzvahs that is incumbent upon an individual between he and himself and the other creations. The other creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, it says, Le Tirzoch, you shall not murder. Le Tinoif, you shall not commit adultery. Le Tignoif, you shall not steal. Le Saneh, you shall not give false testimony. Le Sachmoid, you shall not covet. So these all deal with mitzvahs between yourself and the other creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are how the two tablets are divided. Now the fifth is Kaveh, that you shall honor your father and mother. She says that's a combination of the two tablets. Because you are honoring your father and mother, that's both a mitzvah that has to do with you and the Almighty's creations, and that's also a mitzvah that has to do with you and the Almighty himself. Because Gimel Shutfin Ba'odim, there are three partners in bringing you into the world. And you are giving honor to them. When you give honor to your parents, Kilu Kabduni, you are giving me honor. When you disgrace your parents, you are disgracing me. So therefore, that's the chibur, that's the tziruf. That's the combination of the two halves of the Torah coming together, of the two tablets. Therefore, it's number five on the tablets, the last of the first tablet, and then we go into the second tablet. This also explains a Gemara in the Sugya in Kedushin, which states, Rabbi Yosef kasher shoma kare di'ime shebos elov, Rabbi Yosef, when he used to hear the footsteps of his mother coming, Omar he would say, Eikum mekamish kinto da'asya, let me stand up, he would say, let me rise before the Shechina that is coming. Because a person's mother or father, they are the ones who brought him into the world, and therefore he has to honor them. But they brought him into the world together with the Shechina. So therefore, when one honors his parents, he's honoring the Shechina also. So this is what Rabbi Yosef would say. When Shoma Kari Di Ime, Shabbos Elov, when he would hear the footsteps of his mother coming to him, Omar, he would say, Eikum, let me rise, Mikame Shechinta Da Asher, before the Shechina that is coming. That is the Gimel Shutfin, the three partners. So this explains why Hukish Kfeidi, Kfeida, Hukish Kfeidom Le Kfeidi. That why I have equated their honor with my honor. Then we said another principle, that this mitzvah brings long days. Why is this? And this, the answer also now is obvious. The Maral brings. Because when a person respects and he shows honor to his parents, what he is doing, he is respecting the source which has brought him into the world. His source of life. His source of life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his two parents. When one cleaves to a source of life, then he'll have life from that. You take a tree. Everything has a source. A tree has roots in the ground. Another source is its branches to the heavens, to the sun. when it reaches into its source, it has life from it. If a person disrespects his parents, then he's going away from his source of life. Then tikzaron, his days will be shortened. Heaven forbid, just like a tree. If a tree leaves its source, you put a tree where there's no sunlight or there's no place for its roots to go, then tikzaron, it'll be shortened. So that is the reason why, for the length of days. There's another reason also. We mentioned this in Shurim in the past, that whenever it comes to kibud, whenever it comes to giving honor to someone, we always find that a person is rewarded with length of days. Because honor in particular is not something physical that you give a person, but it has to do with the Tzelem Elokim, to the image of the Almighty. When you give a person honor, it is the image of the Almighty that takes pleasure in this. And anything that has to do with the Tzelem Elokim, that has to do with a higher world, an upper world. And we find, for example, that the opposite, it states, Amavayish Chaveri Barabim. Malbim Penei Chaveri Barabim. If someone humiliates another person publicly, which is the extreme opposite of giving a person honor and respect, Kilu Shefik Domin. It's as if he has spilled his blood. And he has no portion, he loses his portion, heaven forbid, in the world to come. So honor is like giving life to the image of Hashem that's in the person. And that is always rewarded with long life. So this is the explanation in Leman Yarichun Yomecho, in order that your day should be lengthened. The Gemara brings an interesting story in Kiddushin and Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, "Boy, minei Marav Ula." They asked Rav Ula, "Ad heichen kibur ave eim? How far should one go in honoring his parents?" Omer lahem, he said, "I'll tell you. Tzur u ma'os evik kekovi mechud ba'ashkelon." He says, "I'll tell you a story about an evik kekovi." An evik kekovi was an idolater, a Gentile idolater. Later on from the Gemara, it's explained that he was a Roman. He lived in Ashkelon. Doma ben Nesina Shemai. His name was Doma, the son of Nesina. Pamachas bikshu chachomim pakamatsho bishishim berbua asohor. There was a time when the sages wanted to buy some merchandise from him. And it was merchandise which was at a cost of shishim berbua, 600,000. Rashi says, Dina Izov, 600,000 pieces of gold. That's an enormous amount of money. Even in our times of inflation. Bohoya mifat mateach munach tachas menashoes of Shalomiv. And they came to him, and they offered him the money, and the merchandise was in the safe. It was locked up, and the key to the safe, to where the chest, it was in a chest, and the key to the chest was under the pillow where his father was sleeping. And he refused to wake up his father to get the key to open the chest that he could sell this merchandise. So he lost a deal of 600,000 pieces of gold for the sake of not disturbing his father from a nap. Teisva says, the Yishalmi asks a good question. For 600,000 pieces of dinarim of gold, he could afford it to break the chest and buy a new chest. So without going to the key. So the Yishalmi says that that the his, they learned a little differently. Not only the key was under the the pillow, or maybe they're learning differently altogether, but his feet were stretched out over the chest, the feet of the father. So therefore he couldn't get to the chest without disturbing the father, even without the key. Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Now Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Shoales Rav Lezer, Ad Heichen Kibur Aveim. They asked Rav Lezer, how far does Kibur Aveim go? So they bring another story with the same person. That there was this Gentile idolater in Ashkelon. Doma ben Nesina was his name. Bikshu mimenu chachomim avonim le'efeit b'shishim ribua socher. But Avkahana masni b'shmeinim ribua. The sages came to him and they needed the ephod. The ephod was a precious stone. Some say it was the avonim le'efod. They needed the precious stones for the ephod, for the gown of the Kohen Gadol. This was a precious stone. Some say it was the onyx stone. And they couldn't find it anywhere except by this person. And they came to buy it from him. And they offered him again 600,000 pieces of gold. Some say, though, the story was 800,000 pieces of gold. And again, and he couldn't get to the chest because his father was sleeping. And he would not disturb his father. So we see how far Kibur Av Ve'Eim goes. Then the Gemara continues. Lashon Acheres Nosan Hakadosh Baruch Hu Sore Shunod Lepora Aduma Ba'Edrei. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, rewards everyone accordingly. So even though he had lost these deals, Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave him a gift that the next year a Pora Aduma, a calf that was entirely red, was born in his flock, in his herds. We need a Pora Aduma during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. We had to have a Pora Aduma, a red heifer. We needed it to be Matayer, for the laws of purification. And it had to be totally red. Two black hairs disqualifies him. So he was very, very rare, and he could be sold for a great deal of money. So was born to this person a Pora Aduma, a red calf. The sages came to him and they said, we want to buy the Pora Aduma, the red heifer. He said to them, I know that if I will ask for all of the money in the world, you'll have to give it to me. But any mevakesh mikem ela ese moment she's farati bishvul kveir abo. I want only the amount that I lost on the previous deals because I didn't want to wake my father. That's all I'm demanding. So they bought it, and this was his reward. Omar Mchanino. So Rav Chanina said, Umami she'ina mitzuva v'isekach. A Gentile is not commanded on the mitzvah of honoring his father and mother. These are not from the seven mitzvahs which were given to the sons of Noah. So, if this is how someone who is not commanded on the mitzvah fulfills it, so by us, Israel, that we are commanded on the mitzvah, so how much more so do we have to fulfill it? The Omar of Chizdo, God mitzvah is Mishen mitzvah is, because Rav Chisda said, and if this is the reward that he gets, even though he's not commanded on it, so how much more will the reward be that we're commanded on? Because Rav Chisda said that someone who's commanded on a mitzvah and fulfills it receives more reward than when you do a mitzvah that you're not commanded on. Then the Gemara goes further. He also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Eretz Yisrael, he said, I'll tell you further. See, this was during the time of the Roman occupation of Eretz Yisrael. He says, there was one time, he said, this I can testify to. There was one time he was dressed in golden royal garments. And he was sitting He was sitting together. It was a banquet or a gathering amongst the greatest nobility of Rome. Ubose imoi, and his mother came up to him, bekorose mimeno, and she ripped the garments off of him. Betofkele areshe, and she slapped him. Beyorkele fofonim, and she spit at him. Tosfos brings that the Medrash says, miturefes midaito. She had gone out of her mind. Velehi klimo, and he didn't refuse to insult her. He didn't say anything. Wouldn't say anything. So that's what Endymion said. See, he says, in other words, I'll go one further. Not only the first case was where they lost, he lost a chance to do business. The second case is where he lost a chance to sell his stones. And the third case is that he was publicly humiliated amongst the nobility of Rome. And still, he won't do anything. So this is what the Gemara brings at Heichon, how far we see this mitzvah goes. Now the Maral asks some interesting questions here. He says, how come we find, firstly, that the goyim, the non-Jews, this non-Jew was such a genius, such a goyim, excelled so much when it came to the mitzvah of Kibbur Av V'Em, where you don't find Yisrael, you don't find Jews fulfilled in the mitzvah that way. And he's not even commanded on it. We're commanded. And secondly, why is it necessary for us to go learn from an idolater? He asked them a question. How far does this mitzvah go? So they start telling him stories about an idolater. In other words, we should learn from him. Is it necessary that we go learn from an idolater? And a parallel to this is that we find with Esav. Esav was also a genius when it came to Kibbur Av V'Em, honoring his father. And he was excelled even more than his brother Yaakov. And the Medrash says, it's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabo, Perek Samechei, Omer Rav Shim Gamlil, Kol Yomai Hoyisi Meshames Es Ovi. Rav Shim Gamlil said, this was the great Rav Shim Gamlil, he said, I was very careful in the mitzvah to always attend to my father. But leshimashti oise echod mimea sheshimesh esav aroshos oviv. But I didn't attend to my father 100th. Echod mimea, 100th I didn't attend to my father. Like esav arosho attended to his father Yitzchok. Ani sheshimashti esavi oyisimishamish lebe godim luklochim. When I would serve my father, I'd come to his house and I would straighten up everything for him, and I would clean his house for him, and I would cook for him and set the table for him, because I wanted the mitzvah myself, even though Shem Gamlil was from royalty, he was from the Nesim. Now I wanted the mitzvah myself, but I did it b'bigdei melucholchim. He says, naturally I didn't wear my royal garments when I was doing all of this. But when I would go outside, and Rav Shim Gamlil was a Nossi, he had to dress like royalty. I would put on very nice clothing. Esav when he would come to serve his father, he would put on clothing of royalty. Big day malchus. The Medrash brings that big day malchus refers Esav had taken from Nimrod the clothing of Odom v'Chava, the clothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made for the first man and first woman. And these were the clothing he used to put on when he would go to see his father. This is how he revered and valued his father. So the great Rav Shimon Gamliel said that even though all of my days I served and attended my father, but it was not 1/100th of what Esav, the way Esav served his father. So here we see that another non-Jew, Esav was the father of Edom of the Roman Empire, excelled in Kibbutz Avim. So why is it? Why is it that we find they excelled so much and then we're supposed to go learn from them? So he brings some deep reasons in this. He says two reasons which basically have a similar source. It says follows. He says, firstly, you should know that in the world there is what is known as Sechel HaTachtein v'Sechel HaElyon. There is a wisdom of this world and a wisdom of a higher world. Chochmas HaTachtein v'Chochmas HaElyon. We explain this once in a shir on Derech Eretz. The Derech Eretz is Chochmas HaTachtein. That's the wisdom of the earth. And the Chochmas HaTorah, the wisdom of the Torah, that's a higher wisdom. The Sechel HaTachton, the wisdom, a worldly wisdom, that was given to all of the nations. As it states, Im Yesh Chochma Bagoyim Tamim, Yesh Chochma Bagoyim, you'll find amongst the nations great wisdom. That's referring to the earthly wisdom. The Sechel HaElyon, the higher level of wisdom, which is not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of a Olam HaElyon, of a higher world, of the world to come, spiritual wisdom, that was not given to the nations. That was given to Israel, as it states, Yesh Teira Bagoyim Alta, She'ein Torah Bagoyim. If someone tells you there's Torah by the nations, don't believe them. Torah was given only to Israel. In the mitzvahs of the Torah, the 630 mitzvahs that were given to us, we are supposed to approach all of these mitzvahs with the Sechel HaElyon, with the higher level of wisdom, because these mitzvahs come from another world. But nevertheless, there are some of these mitzvahs we can understand even from a worldly perspective, even from an earthly perspective. And that is what is known as the mishpotim. Mishpotim are the type of mitzvahs that have a worldly logic to them. It states if the Torah wouldn't have commanded them, many of these we would have made for ourselves. They have a human logic to them. Even though when we fulfill them, we must not limit ourselves to the human logic because they go far beyond that, because they come from an upper world. But nevertheless, there is a tfisa, there is an approach to these from a human logical perspective. And therefore, they are called mishpotim. An example, you take the seven mitzvahs that were given to the nations of the world. Or you take civil laws. See, many of the civil laws nations enact, even though they didn't have Torah. There's another section of mitzvahs, which are known as chukim. Chukim, these mitzvahs, you can never come to from a human logic. Had the Torah not given them, we would have never decreed them. That, the Torah says, for example, macholas asur is the forbidden food, chazir, to eat pig, not to eat pig. That's something that we would not have decreed. Or other such mitzvahs, tzitzis, tefillin, and so on. The mishpat, which is the most logical, when we're speaking of human logic, then all of the mishpatim, all of such mitzvahs in the Torah is Kibbutz Avim, that one should honor his father and mother. Because the Seichel is Gezer, human intellect decrees that one must show respect to from where he came from. One must show respect to those who brought him into the world. because otherwise he wouldn't be here. So therefore there is no mitzvah that is more logical than Kibur Ave'ein, than that mitzvah. The chok, the statute, which is always personified as the statute which is the furthest away from Chochma HaTachteina, from human intellect, is Por Aduma, the red heifer. It was on that Shlema Melech said, King Solomon, Hirecheken imeni, that even though I have become the wisest of all men, I can still not penetrate the reasons, the wisdom in that mitzvah. So these are your two personifications of these two groupings. And this is why that at the end of in Parshas Bishalach, last week's Parsha, right after the giving of the Torah, it states that, excuse me, not after the giving of the Torah, right after the Yetzias Mitzrayim, after the Kriyas Yamsuf, after the splitting of the sea, before the Torah was given, it states they came to Morah, they came to a place where the water was bitter. Shom som le cheku mishpot v'shom nisohu. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them miksas mitzvahs. He gave them a few mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah. He gave them a chok, a statute, and he gave them a mishpot, and he tested them. So the sages say the chok was Por Aduma, and the mishpot was Kibur Ave'im. In Parshas Vaaschanan, where the Ten Commandments are repeated again, there it states, Kaved es avicha ves imecha, honor your father and mother, kasher tzivcho, Hashem, like I have commanded you. Rashi brings from the Gemara on Shabbos, what does it mean, like I have commanded you? Gemara says, like I have commanded you from before. Honor your father and mother, like I have commanded you from before the Torah was given. When was that? In Morah. So, before the giving of the Torah, we were commanded on a chok and on a mishpot. The chok was Por Aduma, and the mishpot was Kibur Aveim. Why those two? Because these are the ultimate personifications of the Chochma Tachteina, of one which human intellect can understand very well, and one which human intellect cannot touch. Now, when it comes to the Seichel HaTachton, to the human intellect, to worldly understanding, that was not given exclusive to the Jews. It was given to the nations of the world also, as it states, Yesh Chochma Bagoyim. There's plenty of wisdom by the nations of the world. Not only that, but it's fair to say that the nations of the world excel in this even more than the Jews, because that's their department. They were given the wisdoms of the world, the wisdoms of this world. When it comes to Seichel Elyon, spiritual wisdoms, now that was totally Israel. That was Torah, that was given to the Jews. Therefore, in this mitzvah of Kibur Ave'im, which runs with so much human intellect and logic, the non-Jews can become greater in it than Israel. And this is why we find that they were so great in it, and we were told to go learn from them. And also we see, very interesting, because he excelled in it, this Doma ben Esino, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a reward. What was the reward? A Por Aduma. He said, you excelled in this mishpot, I'll give you a reward of a chok. Was born to him a Por Aduma, red heifer. Incidentally, though, HaShulchan brings, he also brings, he says, there is no mitzvah in all the Torah that is as logical as Kibur Ave'im. That's something that logic decrees. This is why we find that the nations of the world, many of them were very, 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 very zealous in this mitzvah, like we see here, even though Eina Mitzvah, they were not commanded on it. But he says that's why it states Kasher Tzivcho Hashem Elokecho. That's how he wants to interpret also Kasher Tzivcho. You shall honor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you shall honor your father and mother, but not merely because your seichel, human intellect decrees. No, we're not supposed to do mitzvahs from that perspective, but because Kasher Tzivcho, because I have commanded you. See, we are supposed to do mitzvahs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded. Then it's coming from a higher world. At any rate, so this would explain why we find that the non-Jews, Doma ben Nisino and Esav, could excel in this mitzvah, even though they were not commanded, and they could excel even greater than Israel. And we would go learn from them. That's one interpretation. Now he gives a second interpretation. But also, if one gives thought to it, it's very deep, what we're speaking about, but it boils down to similar, what we're speaking about. And that is, the world of Esav is this world, the physical world. His father Yaakov told him, Mishmani Oretz Yem Eshavecho, that your dwelling place will be the fat of this land. The world of Esav is this world, Olam Hazeh. And this is his whole world. And that was the trade-off he made with Yaakov when he sold the birthright. He says, look, I'll give you the birthright. That's mitzvahs. It has to do with the next world. You give me the porridge. You give me this world. This is the world of Esav. And this is his entire world, to the point where Esav and his descendants, in particular Esav and his descendants, Roman Empire, cannot comprehend the next world. They cannot comprehend it. And that's why Yaakov told Esav, Umitala Shomai Me'ol, the dews of the heaven, that will be above you. Your dwelling place will be in this world. The dew of the heaven, that's above you, that's beyond you. Therefore, when Esav looks at his father and mother, he does not recognize the Gimel Shutfin, the three partners. Because what does the father and mother do? The father and mother give the physical components to man, like we mentioned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the spiritual component. Their world is the physical world. It states, Oviv meviyu lidei olam hazeh. Father brings you to this world. Therefore, when Esav looks at his parents, he doesn't see Gimel Shutfin. He doesn't see three partners. He sees two partners. He sees this world. That's all he sees. And therefore, he can give honor, and he can create a bond between himself and his parents, bechol nafshoy, with his whole life. Because when he sees his father, he sees his whole world. And that was the enormous bond that was between Esav and Yaakov. This is also, the Medrash says, this is the reason, one of the strong reasons why Yitzchok loved Esav so much. There was such a strong bond between them. When it comes to Yaakov, this world is not his world. This world was given to Esav. That's why we see they have such enormous success here, while we go from one land to the other. Ikra Elomai by Yaakov is the next world. Yaakov was the spiritual giant. This world plays an important role, but only a role. When he looks at the world, he looks beyond the expanse of the limitations of this world. He looks into the next world, into higher worlds. And therefore, when Yaakov looks at his father and mother, he looks at the Gimel Shutfin. He sees his father and mother, who's Mevi'a Lidei Chaya Ilam Hazeh, but he sees also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Mevi'a Lidei Chaya Ilam Habo. As the Mishnah Bo Metzia states, that if you find something that belongs to your parents, and you find something that belongs to your Rebbe, you have to return it to your Rebbe first, Avedis Rabbi Kedemis. Why? Because your parents bring you into this world. But your Rebbe brings you into the next world. So when Yaakov looks at his parents, he sees his parents bring him into this world. But that's not his whole world. That plays a small role. He sees more than that. He sees that his parents, together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have brought him into both worlds. Now, a shutfus, a partnership, always is a miut, always minimizes a bailus, an ownership. If you own something yourself, you're 100% owner. You bring in a partner, he becomes an owner and you become less of an owner. It's a minimization. And therefore, when Esav looks at his parents, he sees his whole world, everything, because he sees nothing further than this world. And therefore, he can serve them b'chol nafsho. He can serve them with all of his life. When Yaakov looks at his parents, he sees something very, very important. They brought him into this world. But he sees beyond that. He sees they were only partners. And there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, who brings him into this world and the next world. Therefore, he cannot serve his parents blindly with his whole life. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what happens if your parents tell you to steal? What happens if your parents will tell you to kill? Who do you listen to? By Esav, it's possible he'll listen to his parents. Because my father said, the father is the whole vision in his life. I must do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wait a minute. I told you to honor your parents. But I said, you must honor me also. Ukfeidi kodem. And my honor comes before the honor of your parents. If they tell you to steal and I say not to steal, my honor comes before. Because heim mechuyev b'kfeidi, because they also are obligated in my honor. So therefore, it's more difficult for a Ben Yisrael, for a Jew, to fulfill kibud av ve'eim to the extent where Esav or his descendants could do it. That's why we find they excelled so much, and in this we can learn from them how far this mitzvah can go. So this is the second interpretation in it. If one will give thought to it, they both come from a common source. So these are some insights into this mitzvah of kaveres avicha v'simecha, l'man yarich yomecha, kaveres avicha v'simecha, l'man yarichun yomecha, ala adoma asher Hashem elokecha, nesen loch.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.